Turn in God's Word tonight to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. This chapter is notable in Matthew as a chapter in which are recorded many of the parables of our Lord. That chapter opens with Jesus sitting by the seaside with great multitudes, and then in verse 3 we read, "He spake many things unto them in parables." This first parable that he told was the parable of the sower who went forth to sow seed on different kinds of ground with different results. Then in verse 10, we find the disciples coming to Jesus and asking, why does he speak in parables? And Jesus answers that in this way, the truths of the kingdom of heaven are made known to God's people, and the truths are made so plain to the unbelievers, and yet they will not see or hear or understand. Then in verse 18, Jesus explains the parable of the sower. And especially for our purposes tonight, it's important to notice verse 19, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom," and that was the seed. Jesus explains the seed's meaning in the parable of the sower as the word of the kingdom. Then he finishes explaining that parable, and that takes us to verse 24, where we pick up our reading tonight. Matthew 13, verse 24. "Another parable put Jesus forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Thus far we read God's word tonight, and this is the holy and inspired and infallible word of God. Our text tonight is verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, when the young people of the Church of Jesus Christ stand up and make confession of their faith and answer yes to the questions that are put to them, they are giving an audible external testimony of their faith, a testimony that we can hear, a testimony that we could observe as they stood and answered the questions tonight. But when the young people of the congregation give that audible external testimony, they are revealing things that are happening in their hearts. The reason that the four could answer yes tonight is that there is and has been an internal work of Jehovah God in their hearts, a work that's been hidden from our eyes, a work that has to do with their own spiritual life with God, that's between them and God, a life that's secret and a life that's mysterious, but it's a life that we could observe and we could see and hear through their testimony tonight and in other ways throughout their life as they live according to the law of God and as they have confessed their faith in other ways among their friends and in their families and in their life at church. Confession of faith, public confession of faith, is the revelation and showing forth of an internal work of Jehovah God in them. And that's the internal work that our Lord Jesus Christ taught in this parable of the hidden leaven. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until the whole was leavened." It's that leaven that works inside. It's that leaven that we heard expression of tonight. And it's that leaven that works in the hearts of all of the people of God. It's the leaven that's working in our hearts right now as the Word of God is proclaimed unto us. That life is special. That internal work of Jehovah God is remarkable. It's nothing short of miraculous, for it is indeed the miracle of salvation as God applies all of the things that Christ has earned to us by His Word and by His Spirit. And so at the occasion of confession of faith tonight, we want to take a closer look at what that internal spiritual power of God is that works in us and works in our children and causes us to confess our faith in our great God. So let's consider this parable then under the theme, the hidden leaven of the kingdom. In the first place, consider the meaning of the parable. In the second place, consider the operation of that leaven within our hearts. And in the third place, consider the result of it. The hidden leaven of the kingdom. The meaning, the operation, and the result. Let's begin then by looking at the parable and the details of the parable. The parable is simple enough. It's one verse. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. There really are only three elements in this parable. There's that woman who takes the leaven and hides it in the meal. Then there's that meal, three measures of meal, which was actually quite a quantity. This would have made enough bread for at least 50 people and up to 100 people, 50 to 100 servings of bread out of this one hiding of leaven in meal. And we're told that that was the normal way that women would bake in those days. They would not bake the bread of the day for that day alone, but say at the beginning of the week, or perhaps for a few weeks, would make enough bread to feed the family and all of the visitors who would come to the house throughout that week. So there's this meal into which the leaven is put and hid. And then there's that leaven itself. And that's what makes this parable an interesting parable. It's that element of the leaven. It's unusual. It's unexpected to find the kingdom of heaven compared to leaven, because in every other place in the New Testament where we read of leaven, leaven is something bad. A little bit later in Matthew, in chapter 16, Jesus is going to warn his disciples, beware of the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees. And then the disciples, being confused for a moment, thinking he's talking about them not bringing bread with them on their journey, Jesus says, I'm talking about the doctrine of the scribes and the Pharisees. He compares the false doctrine of the scribes and the Pharisees to leaven. And then a little bit later in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 and following, Paul says, put out that leaven. And by that he's referring to the wickedness of someone who's living impenitently in sin in the church. And then in verse 8, he identifies that leaven as malice and wickedness. Put out sin from your midst through excommunication, so that that little leaven of that little sin in the church does not go through the whole lump and leaven the whole lump. In the New Testament, leaven is compared to something evil and wicked, either false doctrine or wicked living. And so there are some who take this parable and say, what Jesus is teaching here is the reality of false teachers in the church. That woman represents the anti-Christian kingdom, and the leaven represents false doctrine and sin, which is introduced into the church till the whole church is infected and there has to be a reformation. Well, it's true that the anti-Christian kingdom and false teachers put false doctrine and wicked living into the church, but that's not the meaning of this parable. Jesus says here, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Not the false teachers, not the anti-Christian kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is likened unto leaven. That's a striking aspect of this parable and deserves some closer attention. What is this leaven then that Jesus speaks of here? Well, leaven was a way of making bread rise. It would be comparable to our use of yeast today in bread dough to make the bread rise. This leaven in those days would have been a small piece of soured dough that was fermenting. And that small piece of soured dough would be folded into and kneaded into the whole lump of the bread dough, and then it would be set aside. And within that bread dough, unseen by the human eye, that leaven would go to work. It would ferment, and as it ferments, it would give off bubbles. And those tiny little bubbles would soften the dough. They would lighten the dough. They would cause that dough to expand and to rise. If somebody didn't put leaven in their bread or didn't put yeast in our bread today, then it would be hard and brittle like a cracker. But with leaven or yeast in the bread, that fermenting of the leaven in the heart of that lump of dough spreading throughout that dough would cause that dough to be soft and to rise, so that when it's baked, it comes out a loaf of soft bread. And that's the parable. Jesus says there was a woman who took leaven and hid it in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So what is the meaning or the interpretation of this parable? We've already seen one interpretation that we don't agree with, that this is false teachers, but there's another interpretation that we reject, not only as a wrong interpretation of this text, but as a false teaching regarding this text. And that's the interpretation that Christianity has a presence in the world that improves the world, so that the leaven would be identified with Christianity, the bread dough would be identified with the world, and wherever Christianity goes in the world is improved. Where the gospel goes, where Christianity goes, you get education and you get schools. Where Christianity goes, you get political reform and social reform. Where Christianity goes, you get good health and good hospitals and all kinds of institutions that are for the earthly benefit of man. That is not what Jesus is teaching here, and that is not the gospel of the kingdom of heaven either, that Christianity goes forth to improve the world. The kingdom is the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus says in this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. He's talking here about the spiritual life and spiritual realm of the Church of Jesus Christ that belongs to our covenant God. The mission of the church is not to go improve the social standing of the world. The mission of the church is far, far different from that. The mission of the church is to preach the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ for the salvation of as many as God shall call. So what is the proper interpretation of this parable then, if those other things are not the proper interpretation? Well, the key is that leaven. That's what makes this parable unique. And if we identify the leaven, then we'll be able to see what the rest of the elements are. And in order to identify the leaven here, we have to see this parable in its context with the other parables around it. Jesus here in Matthew 13 is beginning to teach the people in parables, and many of those parables are recorded here in this chapter. And in the very beginning of this chapter, Jesus tells the parable of the sower. And in that parable of the sower, the seed which that sower sowed was the word. As we took note before we read our passage in verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. And then when we come to the next parable, there's seed again. When we come to the next parable in verses 31 and verse 32, there's seed again. The kingdom of heaven being likened to a grain of mustard seed. There's a whole theme and a whole thread going through the previous context. And then in the following context, Jesus explains one of those parables, the parable of the tares. And so identifying the leaven means taking this in context with these other parables and seeing that the leaven is the very same thing as the seed in the first parable. It refers to the word of the kingdom, the word of the gospel. It refers to the revelation of God in the inspired scriptures, and especially that revelation of God as it is preached, as it is proclaimed in the official assembly of the Church of Jesus Christ in her worship service and in the catechism room. And it refers then to that word as it is used by the church in her organic life, so that believing fathers and mothers in the home use that word in the rearing of their children. And in the Christian schools, that word is brought for the rearing of the children. And in our Bible studies, we gather around the word. It's the word of God, the gospel of the kingdom, or the word of the kingdom, the truth concerning Jesus Christ. That is the leaven. That's the thing that works. That's the thing that's operative inside the measures of meal. And that helps us then identify the other elements. The woman then is the church, represents the true church of Jesus Christ, through whom the Lord Jesus Christ preaches his word. And the 3 measures of meal represent the believer. And they can represent the believer either as an individual who hears that word of God proclaimed to him, or those 3 measures of meal can represent the whole congregation of believers in Jesus Christ who receive that word that is proclaimed to them. And so if we take all of that and we step back and try to give the interpretation of this parable briefly, the interpretation is this, that Jehovah God, through his church, proclaims his word to his church and hides that word in the hearts of the church where it operates and where it ferments and where it does its work. The word of God is hidden in the hearts of God's people. And that has all kinds of applications for us as the Church of Jesus Christ. There are all kinds of ways that we, as the church, are proclaiming that word and using that word, and by that the leaven of the gospel is being hidden in the hearts of the church. When the young people stood up to confess their faith tonight and gave expression to that inner power that's working within them, the leaven of the Word has been put into their hearts for the years leading up to this moment of their confession of faith. Parents, we're doing that in the home. How many times didn't you young people sit down at the dinner table with your parents and Dad read the Bible, and maybe you discussed the Word for a little while and maybe sang a psalm from the Word? There's the Word being hidden in the hearts of the young people. How many days and weeks and years of Christian school education have our children and young people had? And as the teachers bring the Word of God to bear on all of the subjects, they're hiding that Word, that leaven of the gospel in the hearts of our young people and children. This isn't meant to be a sermon for the beginning of the school year, but there is definitely an application with regard to the beginning of the school year. You Christian school teachers, and we parents who hire these Christian school teachers and support them and pray for them, have the privilege in this year of hiding the leaven of the Word of God in the hearts of the covenant seed. As you open the day with devotions with them, mothers in the home and then teachers in the classroom, you're hiding the leaven of the Word in their hearts. As all of the subjects in the classroom are taught from the point of view of God's Word, and God's Word is even opened in those classes, and its light is shed on the subject at hand, you teachers are hiding the leaven of the Word in the hearts of our young people and children. And when the children come home from school and sit down at dinner hungry after a long day of studying, and afterwards read the Word of God together, the leaven of the Word is being hidden in the hearts of our children. And then look at all of the places that that happens in the life of the congregation. Catechism is going to start soon, so that the children week after week will come and from the elders and minister of the church hear the leaven of the Word by which God puts it into their hearts. In our Bible studies which begin, we sit around together and discuss this Word as leaven which lives in our hearts. So many opportunities in the Church of Jesus Christ and in our life as believers to hear and heed this Word. And by all of that, God, through the church, takes this leaven and hides it in the three measures of meal that are our hearts, or that are the Church of Jesus Christ as a whole, until the whole is leavened. That Word of God, that leaven, operates within us. And that's especially the point of this parable. Other parables in Matthew 13 teach the truth that God sends forth the Word, that He teaches the Word to us. But this parable in Matthew 13, verse 33, of the hidden leaven of the kingdom, speaks especially to the operation of that leaven of the Word in our hearts. It helps us understand what's going on within us and how the Word of God is a power within us. And the way that this parable teaches how the Word of God operates is by pointing us to leaven. Just as leaven operates within a lump of dough to leaven the whole dough, the whole loaf, so also the Word of God within our hearts, operates in our hearts, so that our whole being is affected. So how does the Word of God operate in our hearts? Well, in the first place, the Word of God operates secretly. It operates internally. It operates in a hidden way. That's the way leaven works. The woman who kneads that leaven or that yeast into the dough and then sets the lump aside can look at that lump and watch that lump, and it doesn't appear that anything's happening. There it sits as a lump of dough. But secretly, internally, hidden in the heart of that lump of dough, the leaven is going to work. there it is fermenting and fizzing away with all of its tiny little bubbles that are going through the dough, softening it and lightening it and making it to rise. The yeast is operating, but it's operating internally and in a hidden way. And that's the way the Word of God operates in our hearts too. It goes inside into our souls and operates there and permeates us. There are signs that the Word of God is working, just as there are signs that the leaven is leavening the dough as the lump of dough expands and rises, but that operation is internal and secret. That's what the Word of God is doing in our hearts now. As we hear this gospel preached, that's what the Word of God did in the hearts of these young people that led them to stand and confess their faith. The Word of God was operating, fizzing away, if you will, in their hearts and in ours, fermenting away and permeating and pervading our entire being. The Word of God operates in our hearts so that we are given sight. The Word of God gives us sight. It makes our eyes see the riches and the treasures of the kingdom of heaven, which the unbelievers who don't have that Word of God in their hearts cannot see. That Word of God fermenting in our hearts opens our ears so that we can hear the truth and know that truth and stand on that truth. The unbeliever doesn't know the truth. He might hear it. He might have some intellectual understanding of it, but he doesn't know the truth. For the truth is Jehovah God and Jesus Christ, His Son. The Word of God in our hearts gives us that hearing of the truth and that knowing of the truth. That Word of God opens our minds so that we understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Jesus spoke these parables in order to make the truths of the kingdom so crystal clear that no one could miss them, and yet the unbelievers heard those parables and could not see and could not understand. Jesus explained that earlier in the chapter when the disciples asked, "Why do you speak in parables?" But the Word of God that Jehovah puts in our hearts opens our minds so that we understand the mysteries of the kingdom. That Word of God operates on our will so that we desire the things of the kingdom and desire the fellowship of God. The unbeliever doesn't have that either. He cannot desire to be with God. In fact, it's repulsive to him, or it terrifies him. But the child of God, with that Word of God that has revealed Jehovah in all His mercy and love in the face of Jesus Christ, loves God and wills to be with Him. The Word of God is a powerful operation in the hearts of God's people, an internal operation in the hearts of God's people, pervading all our being. And that life is special that we have through this Word. That's the life that we have that's between us and God. Now, the believer next to us has that life too. And the whole congregation enjoys that life, but that life that Jehovah God gives is yours. He puts it in your heart and makes you alive and makes you see so that you have that special life and that special relationship of the covenant with Jehovah God. It's something like this that in a large family, one of the children may have time alone with dad or time alone with mom once in a while. And that's a special time for that young person or for that child. And they have dad or mom all to themselves. And now that illustration falls down and limps. But that's the kind of special thing that this life is. It's life between us and God that we enjoy with Him. And this truth that this Word of God operates internally and secretly and in the hidden recesses of the heart is encouraging also for the parent who is becoming frustrated and worried in the rearing of his covenant children. Maybe at the end of the day, The mother in tears says to her husband, "I don't know what to do. This child is giving me all kinds of trouble, totally disobedient. I spank him. I bring him the Word of God. I show him what he's to do, but he won't listen to me." And then the parents need to remember that this Word of God operates internally and in a hidden, mysterious way. Don't give up on the use of that Word. Don't stop bringing the Word or stop disciplining or stop instructing the children. But continue to fold that leaven of the Word of God into their hearts at every opportunity. And it works. This leaven is there in the heart of that child, fizzing away, fermenting away, imparting its properties, imparting its life to all the being of that child. Take heart, covenant parents, in the rearing of our covenant seed who promises to save through His Word as many as He has called. This is encouraging for us when we look at ourselves, not just a child who is stubborn, but when we look at ourselves and we become discouraged with an apparent lack of progress in the Christian life, that we desire to be more holy. We look at ourselves and find that sin cleaves to us, and that old man of sin cleaves to us. Take heart and remember that this Word of God, the gospel of the kingdom, is there in our hearts, fizzing away and fermenting away and pervading our entire being. That doesn't mean that on this earth we'll become perfect. That waits for heaven, that perfection. But the Word of God is operative. It's at work in our hearts. And so continue to trust in Jehovah God for that holiness. This Word of God works internally. But this Word of God also operates powerfully. And that's the second thing to say about the operation of the leaven. It's internal, it's hidden, but it is powerful. And that's evident too from the way leaven works in a lump of dough. There you fold in that yeast, knead in that leaven, and leave it there. And before long, the whole lump is leavened. The leaven permeated the entire lump of dough. And so it is with this leaven of the Word of God in our hearts. It's powerful. It's not ineffectual. It doesn't just sit there like a lump in our hearts, but that Word of God fizzes away in us and permeates our entire being. And we've seen that power of that Word of God in our own experience. We've experienced the power of that Word brought to us poor sinners as we stood faced with our guilt, our iniquity, our filthiness, our stinking loathsomeness. And that Word of God declares to us, there's righteousness in another outside of yourselves. There's righteousness in Jesus Christ, the Savior. And that Word of God was powerful in our hearts to give us that comfort of salvation through Jesus Christ. We felt it in our experience as we faced a terrible temptation, a temptation that we've fallen into before and succumbed to. And now that temptation is back before us. And the Word of God, brought to our remembrance by Jehovah God, has been powerful in us to battle that temptation so that we were able to say no to that sin and yes to obedience to Jehovah God. This Word of God is powerful in our own experience as we have dealt with the grievous trial and affliction that the Lord has laid upon our lives, and maybe even sat by the bedside of a loved one as he lay dying. And the Word of God brought to that loved one who's dying was powerful in his heart to make that loved one confess, "I believe." And I know my Savior is coming for me soon. And in a few moments, I'm going to wake up in heaven and be with my Lord. That's powerful, this word of Jehovah God. And we've seen that power tonight in our own worship service in the confession of faith of the four young people. How many sermons have they heard? How many times hasn't Dad, Mom, read the Bible with them? How many Christian school teachers haven't they had bringing that Word of God? All of the leaven that was folded in and folded in through the years. And yet, as parents, as office bearers, as teachers, we look back on it all and say how weak we were. We say how many mistakes we've made, how many things we've omitted, and how many things we've done that we shouldn't have. If their standing up tonight depended on me bringing that word, or anyone in their lives bringing that word, they never would have stood tonight. Never would have happened. But the power of God is at work. The power of God that is this word of the gospel. Jesus Christ crucified. That word fermenting and fizzing in their hearts has brought them to stand before the church and really before the whole world too and declare, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe His word and believe His truth, and by His grace are committed to a life that honors that truth. The power of the Word of God is operating in the hearts of our young people and children and in the hearts of the congregation. So that this occasion tonight is an occasion of thanksgiving and glory to God for the great things that He has done for our covenant seed. But there's a reason why this Word of God operates so powerfully. And the reason it's such a power, irresistible power, is because the Word that is the leaven of the kingdom is Jesus Christ Himself. That's what this leaven is. It's the Word of God. That's accurate. It's the Word of the kingdom. That's true. But this Word of the kingdom, this Word of God, is Jesus Christ Himself. And that's true because He's the content of the Word. That's what the whole Word is about. The whole preaching of the gospel is the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified. And that's true in the second place because Jesus Christ Himself is the eternal Word of God who is revealed in the Scriptures and in the preaching of the gospel. The Word in the hearts of our young people and in our hearts is Jesus Himself. And He told His disciples that's the way it would be before He left them in John 13 and following when He said, I'm going away from you, but I will come again to you. I will come again to you. And I will come again to you in my Spirit, whom I will pour out, who will teach you all truth and lead you into all remembrance of all things that I have told you. My Spirit will take my word, and by that Spirit and word, I will dwell in your hearts. That's why this Word of God is effectual. That's why this Word of God is irresistible. That's why this Word of God brings even wretched sinners like us to spiritual life and spiritual maturity, because that Word is Jesus the Savior. He who is the display of God's love. He who came in our flesh. He who suffered all His life long and bore our curse upon the cross. He who died to cover our sins with His blood and who rose again because He had justified us of all our iniquities. And He who lives now in power at God's right hand, having ascended there and received the gift of the Holy Spirit and having poured Him out. That Jesus lives in your hearts. He's the leaven that's effectual and powerful and that operates in the hearts of God's people. And the comfort of that truth is that our salvation is unassailable. It cannot be removed. It cannot be taken away. For the Lord Himself has made His dwelling with us. And the result of having the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, this leaven of the gospel, is the perfection of the individual child of God. And then second, the perfection of the church of Jesus Christ as a whole. The result of having the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts is that you and I shall be perfect. We shall be made sinless, and we shall have a home in heaven. This one who lives in our hearts earned all that for us at His cross when He ransomed us and bought us with His own blood and made us His own possessions and His own brothers and sisters under our Father, Jehovah God. Jesus Christ bought that perfection for us. He comes into our hearts now and gives us the beginning of it, gives us really all of those blessings of salvation in principle as the promise that the full measure is coming. Jesus taught so in His parable. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And that means the future that lies before us is that inheritance that Jehovah through Jesus Christ has bestowed upon us, that He has purchased by His precious blood. Here we sit in church on a Sunday evening with a taste of what heaven shall be as we see our fellow saints gathered in worship of Jehovah God, as we hear our Savior Jesus Christ speaking His gospel to us through an instrument. We have a taste of it here. But the full reality of it shall be ours. It shall be ours. Each of us personally who belong to Jehovah God and who are the called according to His purpose. He lives in our hearts now and shall take us to live in His house forever in glory. And that's the perfection then of the entire church as well. We, as the church, have the leaven of the kingdom, which is the Word of God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelling in us as the church of Jesus Christ. And we look forward as the church to that day when the heavens shall be rolled back as a scroll, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who dwells in us now by His Spirit, shall descend from heaven visibly and bodily, shall raise our bodies from the dead, make all things new, a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells and where we shall forever, by the power of Jesus Christ within us, then too, where we shall forever live to the glory of our great God. When our young people stand up to make confession of their faith, they give an audible, external revelation of a power that's working within them. And we feel that ourselves, that power that works within us. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word to us this evening. We thank Thee for our Savior Jesus Christ, for His dwelling in our hearts. We thank Thee for His sacrifice on the cross that purchased for us this power and this word and this salvation that is ours in Him. We We pray, Father, that Thou wilt give us grace to live out of the power of that word, and out of the power of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, that we may show by our confession and walk to all who are around us the great power of the leaven of the kingdom in us. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter number 421. Stanza 3, we sing, "Blessed is the man whose strength Thou art, Thy ways are hidden in his heart." Let's sing the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4 of 421. Unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.